Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nikov, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Welcome to the Social Network Show. This is your host, Dr. J. We are continuing with another episode of the Naibi Reynoso series today. Allow me to briefly remind you of a few of the feathers in Ms. Reynoso's cap. She is a Los Angeles native and studied sociology and psychology at UCLA. Her work in TV started as a production assistant for various Warner Brothers sitcoms, and she has also anchored television, entertainment, and news programs in English and Spanish, as well as fulfilling many other roles on the 24-hour Spanish talk radio network. Naibe has produced and hosted CNN Español's Golden Globes and Oscar specials. She is also a Los Angeles freelance correspondent for Fox News Latino. So you can see why it is a great honor to say to Naibe Reynoso, welcome back to the Social Network Show.
Thank you, Jane. Thanks for having me, and we have a very special guest today.
Okay, and I understand that is Jose Marquez. He is the CEO of LISTA, which stands for Latinos in Information Services and Technology Association. The organization's mission is to empower Latino technological and scientific engagement, broaden awareness of the impact Latinos are having on these sectors, and concurrently representing their overall interest within the digital information age. A 25-year veteran of the telecommunications industry, Jose Marquez has held various senior positions for implementation and sales engineering to channel development and internet policy at companies such as Sprint, MCI, AT&T, Global Crossing, and MI8. Jose graduated with an engineering degree from Rutgers University in 1981. Welcome, Jose.
Well, welcome back today. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, it's our pleasure. I know that Naibe has a number of things she'd like to talk with you about.
Right.
Naibe, how are you?
I'm good. I first met you at Hispanicize a few years ago with our friend Bel Hernandez. And now, you know, we've all grown and done different things. One of the things that you are a CEO of and involved, very involved in, is LISTA, which I love the name. So tell us a little bit of more about LISTA.
Well, what can I tell you? This organization was just an organization that we started as a networking opportunity for some of our friends. Since we didn't have a networking group back in 1997, we didn't have a Hispanicize, we didn't have any of these groups. We had NCLR and Naleo, of course, but they weren't talking to the issues that we were encountering. That we were in an industry that was extremely lucrative, and the minority community was not involved. As far as Latinos go, we were 1%, maybe 2%. I knew almost everybody in the industry, especially because most of that industry ran from New York. So we were very lucky to be at the right place at the right time, and we were able to you know, basically give everybody an opportunity that the opportunity wasn't there. We knew that we had to cross some bridges and there were maybe some obstacles, but we knew that we were going to get it done. So nine of us came together and started the whole LISTA campaign.
Right.
And then finally what happened was is that I decided to take it a step notch higher, and I said, you know, well, I'm going to become the CEO of this organization and we're going to run this so that we can really, really have someone that's committed. Because when you do things as a volunteer, no matter how much, you know, your heart is in it, you still have to, you still have another job to do. So I chose to take a hit, and I said, you know what, I'm going to start to make sure that this organization continues to grow. And I became the CEO in 1998, And ever since then, we've been running this organization, and we've grown it to now to what we are, 16, almost 17 chapters. We have a baby chapter that's just being born in Silicon Valley. I'm sorry for my dog. but, you know, so we have the Silicon Valley new chapter, the Sacramento chapter, which is over about 2 years old now. Of course, we have our LA chapter, which is one of the founding chapters with David Contreras out in Los Angeles. And now we have Elia Cortez, who's the ex-CIO of the state, who's running that chapter. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really a powerful chapter. And we have really, really good events, whether it's networking events or whether it's workshops and seminars, whether it's coding for good, you know, all that stuff.
I love the name of the organization, LISTA, which obviously stands for Latinos in Information Science and Technology Association, because LISTA in Spanish also means smart, but it also means ready. And I feel like Latinos are smart, and we are ready, and we are very tech-savvy. I think there's a misconception.
You know, what it is it's real simple. We knew that, you know, we were ready. We knew that we had people that were available and that were professional, and we had all the skills that was needed in order for us to be in this industry. However, what was going on is that, of course, they only see us on television with our hands out or our hands behind our back, so they don't show you that they're engineers. So one of our thoughts were, we need to showcase our community and make sure that there's more people that know who Chris Rodriguez is, who Felipe Alvarez is. Felipe Alvarez was the youngest COO and probably the first Latino to hold the chief operating officers at a major telecom. And he was at 9X, and then we became Verizon.
Wow.
So to think about it, we've had people with much talent who have literally been, but the thing is about the Latino community is that we're not, what is it, the saying that your grandmother says? No hables, don't talk unless they talk to, you know, all those great things. But if you think about it, one of the things that we don't know how to do is really toot our own horn and talk about what we've done. And then also, we also have a problem is that we, once we become part of a corporation, we don't mix our culture, and so nobody knows that you're Latino.
Right.
You know, so if they don't know that you're Latino, well, they don't understand that. For us, it was extremely important that we identify Latinos in the industry and make sure that they're seen as the experts they are. If you pick up any magazine, Bar Reseller or any of those other magazines that have to do in the technology industry, you'll never see a Hispanic name. You'll see them now. But back in 1997, forget about it. We weren't in there. And we were doing great things. Jesus, I was running a whole department, $7 billion department on what we were doing, what we call now RIM or BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing rollouts for companies like Goldman Sachs. Nobody knew that.
Right.
But the thing is that that's the problem. We work very well, you know, and we are very, very quiet when it comes to, we don't say, hey, look what I did. Because guess
right.
what?
We don't
tell what we do, then we are assumed. And we can't be assumed. We have to say, hey, check it out. We've done this.
Right. Another thing that your organization does is not only, like you said, identify Latinos that are doing great things, that are leaders in the tech industry, but you're also advocates. I love that you guys are advocating for net neutrality. Tell us about that. Some people may still not know what net neutrality means and why it's important to you.
Well, here's the thing. Net neutrality for the Latino community has been where we've been able to do so many things. As far as when we advocate for our community, we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing for our community, not just for the sponsors who are giving us the opportunity to do these things. So we also have to be very careful when it comes to that, because you're threading a fine line. Fiscal responsibility, or your community. For us, it's always been about our community. We want to make sure that when our community has all the gains that we've done in mobile technology or in regular broadband, all the innovation that we've made, you know, we've got so many new startup businesses coming up that are just new things that, you know, drones, you know, we didn't have drones 5 years ago. You know, we didn't have apps 7 years ago. This is all a new application that came from the business that was there already. So for us, we have to continue to grow and continue to be part of what the net neutrality means, which we want to be a free and open internet. Everybody wants that.
Right.
However,
we have to
make sure that there's regulations and laws that are put in place so that investment and innovation can continue to happen. Because that is the biggest piece of the puzzle. If we're not innovating, then, you know, we'll fall behind. And right now, the way we are, and with the laws, the regulations that the FCC just passed, it puts us in a situation that if you look at Spain, China, Japan, we're going to lose on innovation and investment because of Title II. So we have to be very careful when it comes to the future of the internet, because the internet grows, and it's been growing. Have you seen all the growth that we've done in less than 15 years? Think about it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Were you able to have podcasts? Well, all this stuff came from innovation and investment. And those investments are what we want to make sure that continue to happen, so that way we can continue to grow and not fall second to anybody. You know, as a community, we lead by over 75% over indexing on programs, on television, we over index on everything, including technology, as consumers. We need to figure out how do we become producers.
Right. Well, let's talk about that after the break, Jose Marquez. We are talking to the CEO of LISTA, which means Latinos in Information Science and Technology Association. So many interesting things. This is the future technology, and we got to kind of put ourselves at the forefront so we can be represented in the future endeavors of technology, which is so important. So, Jose, we will be right back with you. Thank you so much.
Fantastic.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back. As internet technology advances, so does the threat of cybercrime. And the instant you go online, you become vulnerable to dangers such as identity theft, computer viruses, phishing, spyware, and more. In times like these, we must all protect ourselves from cybercrime. Antivirus software, firewalls, and security patches are just the beginning. Never open suspicious emails, only navigate to trusted sites, and change your passwords every 90 days. Back up important files to external storage devices. Tell anyone who uses your computer to be vigilant when downloading from the internet. Keep your kids safe on the internet. Teach them never to give out personal information or post information about their school or extracurricular activities.
Installing parental control software and monitoring their computer are all good ways to prevent cybercrime. To learn more about cybercrime, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show, where Naibe Reynoso and I are chatting with Jose Marquez of Lista. And Jose, there's one thing when we were talking about the underrepresentation of Latinos. I'm wondering what you might have to say about Latinas and women in general in technology.
You know, for us, in the last 10 years, we have been, you know, making sure that our organization, we have a friend who's a partner of our organization, and she runs an organization called Mana. And one time she said to me, Jose, look at your board of directors. You're male heavy. You don't have any women on your board. And from that conversation is where we decided to start to not only, you know, make sure that Latinos are being seen, but we started to say, hey, we have to make sure that our Latinas are also, you know, taking advantage of this great opportunity, just like it was for us in 97. So what we started was a program called Latinas of Excellence and the Lista Latina, which basically is Latinas who are in technology and being part of the workforce in corporate America.
That's great.
Guess what? Again, nobody knew they were there.
Can you give us some examples? Who comes to mind?
So, I mean, Jesus, when you start to think about women, we've got so many great women that are right now, like, leading the... How can I say, leading the pack of innovation and business growth. We have people like Nina Vaca, who has a company called Pinnacle Technical, tremendous organization, and they're doing tremendous work in the IT field. You've got young ladies that are doing startups, a lot of startups that are starting up in Silicon Valley that are finally being run by Latinas. We've got Velvet Medina, whose corporation is, if I'm not mistaken, is Avion Ventures. And what they do is incubate startups and make sure that they find funding. Because one of the biggest problems that all small businesses have is finding funding. How do you go out there and get it? So they're doing some great work. We also have Gina Lujan, who has a place called the Hackers Lab. There she's innovating in technology, in app development, in website, and doing workshops and seminars as well, so that the people that are there can learn more every day. So we want to make sure that not only, again, as consumers, we're really good, but we need to start to become the creative. We need to be more on the producer side. We need to make sure that more and more people understand that the Latino community is in technology. And that Latinas in particular, and if you look at the numbers in Silicon Valley, the numbers are, I can't even find a word to say it. They're so low, it's like 1%. And it just doesn't make sense when there's so many qualified technology professionals across the country that can do, you know, any of these jobs. But there's never been anybody that they said, okay, let's nurture this group. You know, you don't hear Google saying, well, we're going to nurture Latina to be the next CEO, or Microsoft right. to be the next CEO. Why not? You know, I mean, I don't know. There's so many women out there that are so right. smart that they can't tell me that they can't find someone.
And precisely that's something that your summit coming up, right? You're going to have a summit very important with a lot of important Latinas and Latinos that are making a dent in technology, and it's going to nurture the future landscape of leadership in that field. So tell us about that summit.
Well, this summit is we do quarterly events across the country. We do them in all over the country where we have presence at. to make sure that our members have an opportunity to get together with the national organization and, you know, discuss some of the issues that are at hand. So, and then what we do is, at that event, we also bring national leaders, and so that we can make a discussion at the national scale. So at this event in particular, going to be in Sacramento, our Emerging Technology Leadership Summit kicks off in Sacramento. And we're going to be doing it at the Sheraton Hotel, in the Sheraton Grand Hotel. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have everybody from the state CIO, Carlos Ramos. Let me ask you a question. Did you know that the state CIO of California was a Latino?
No, I don't even know what CIO means. What does that mean?
CIO is the Chief Information Officer. He's the one who makes the decision where your technology dollar is going to be spent.
Oh, wow. And he's a Latino.
So he is the state CIO. He is the el más que manda.
Right.
In the gobierno when it comes to technology. This guy is unbelievable. But like him, we have Jim Nasser, we have Gina Lujan, we have Alex Padilla, the state Secretary of State, dropping in to say hello and a few words. We have Ignacio Veloz, the chairman of Ignacio of the United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We've got Irene Martinez. We've got so many people coming in. It's incredible. We want to make sure that people know how to do business with the state. We want to make sure that, you know, they understand social media and using social media for business as a brand. You know, that's a very, very interesting topic right now. Of course, we've got why doesn't Silicon Valley get it? What's the hold up accelerating opportunities for Latinas in technology? We also have a program called the Great Race, because we are in a race for education, and how do we make sure that our community doesn't fall behind? We have, you know, we have Sergio C. Garcia. I don't know if you know who he is, but Sergio, they call him the undocumented lawyer.
I don't know him, but he sounds very interesting.
Very, very interesting guy. And what happened was is that for 4 years, you know, he had taken his bar exam and they wouldn't give him his law degree. Well, he finally met last year with the passage of some of the laws that had happened. He was given his right to be able to, his license to be a lawyer in the state of California. And that is an amazing story. Plus, the hardships that he went through because of, you know, being undocumented, which I believe shouldn't have anything to do with what's going on. But anyway, that's another topic. We have a great, great event which we call the Latina Leaders and Tech Business Luncheon. And basically that's going to be a recognition of some of the top Latinas in technology and what, you know, what's going on. And there's going to be some great speakers again. You know, we're hoping that we get a chance to get Deldev Medina up there and Jennifer Arguello. And there's so many great leaders in the industry that are not your typical, that you're used to seeing. And that's going to be our event. Our event is going to be pretty jam-packed with workshops and training and making sure that everybody comes out with another grain of salt to be able to move things forward for themselves and for their families as well.
And I want to ask you a quick question. So technology and all of this new space of social media may sound a little intimidating to someone that doesn't have a role model, especially Latino communities. It's hard for us to find role models in fields such as, you know, this. And that, I mean, this is precisely the kind of work you're doing. But what kind of talent are needed, or what kind of talent should a person have in order to pursue a degree or a career in technology? Because it sounds intimidating. You know, a lot of people don't like math, but they are creative. Mm-hmm. They like media. So do you have to be an engineer? I mean, what kind of mind?
No, not everybody has to be an engineer. I mean, you know, I'll tell you honestly, there's a lot of positions that don't take a degree in technology to be working. I mean, there's so many things that you can be doing, whether it's sales in technology, whether business analyst in technology. There's a lot of things that we can do that you don't have to have. You know, you don't have to do coding all the time. It's not all about coding. You see?
Right.
So there's so many. There's coding is important for the programmers because we need programmers, we need producers. But also someone has to sell it. Someone has to analyze it. Someone has to do all that work. So basically there's so many opportunities. And at this event, you get to hear from many people on what, you know, where are the jobs, where is the opportunities going to happen, where should we be concentrating our efforts when it comes to education. Yes, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, that's where we're going to be for the next 30, 40, you know, for the next future. Everything is going to be technology. So I recommend everybody to take a course in coding, understand coding more. Find out what coding is. You know, why is everybody talking about coding right now?
And coding is probably not as complicated as it sounds, because when I hear coding, I mean, to me, it's like, oh, only a genius could figure that out. But I guess if you take a basic course, it's probably not as hard as it seems like, correct?
Technology is one thing that you can learn, but you learn by putting your hands on it. The more you do it, the better you get at it. And as you know, let's talk about us. We're not digital natives, right? We're the digital immigrants, right? My age group, you know, I had to learn everything. It's not like now that the kids are learning. They're born with a chip in their head. But for us that are not, then we have to start to take courses. You know, continuing education, whether it's an 8-week course in, you know, system analyst. You know, you could do anything. You could, you know, you could sit down and take a course in Ruby Rails and learn how to do a website.
And it's pretty much like learning a language, right? It's like it's a computer language, pretty much. So
it's just another language.
Right, and it's like a lot of Latinos are bilingual, so it's kind of just learning that third language of computer speak, which is going to bring up your value and marketability. Because even if you're a creative person, you know, even if you're, like you said, not necessarily a mathematical genius, companies are looking for people that have knowledge of this computer language. It's so valuable. Every company is running on that.
You know what's really the most important thing, Ailey and Dr. J? Strategic thinking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, if you're able to think things through and, you know, you don't, like I said, you don't have to be an engineer. All you need to know is how to think strategically for that business that you're in. Then you need to start to say, maybe I can do this job here, or maybe I can do that job. You know, there's tons of things that we can do. And one of the greatest things about the Hispanic community is that we are a group of people that are very, very, we're chameleons.
Mm-hmm.
The Hispanic community, you put us in a place and we'll figure it out and we'll do it better than anybody.
Right.
That's a great idea.
So that's the great thing, is that you got to get around the right people. You need to see these people and find out who these guys are. Just look for them. We're all over. We've got people in Los Angeles. You know, that you can meet up there, or you can be part of the organization, you know, nationally. There's so many places where you can get to talk to our organization and our members that we're there. Just, you need to pick up the phone and say, hey, I'd like to understand a little bit more about what you do. You know, give me a call. 770-765-3478. That's the list of national, and I'll put you in touch with whoever you need to talk to.
Okay, let's have that phone number again.
The number is 770-765-3478.
Okay, thanks so much, and thank you, Naibe, for bringing Jose along with us today.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Well, ladies, it's a real pleasure to talk to you. And if I have to say one last thing, don't stop. Keep moving. Do what you have to do in order for you to reach your goals.
Good advice.
Don't let no obstacle get in your way.
Okay. Thank you, Jose and Naibi, and thank you for listening. Please mention to your social networks online and off that you enjoy the show and subscribe to the podcast or add us to your playlist. And check out our webpage, thesocialnetworkshow.com. So until we greet you here again, please have fun and be safe online and off.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. Coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.